GM said the software update used for the last recall disrupts the electronic brake control module when the consumer starts the vehicle using the OnStar app. The new repair involves having dealers reflash the vehicle's electronic brake control module with a new calibration that resolves both the issues. A stop sale order was placed on all vehicles until dealers fix them.
The co-creator of the TV series MASH is dead. Gene Reynolds was 96. He passed away of heart failure at a medical center in Burbank, California on Monday. Reynolds was nominated for 24 Emmy Awards, and he won 6, including for Outstanding Series for MASH and twice for Lou Grant. And they're gathering in Kansas City, as later this morning they'll be stepping off with a victory parade for the NFL champ Kansas City Chiefs. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Larry, and this is Home Again with Jeannie and Larry, and today you got Larry. We've got a guest today, Donna DeVecchio. Is it DeVecchio? DeVico, sorry. But she'll be joining us in a minute after we do us a little housekeeping. And we're going to talk about power and everything related to power surges in your home and some things that you may not even be know about that you want to be concerned about that are happening in your home. And we all have thousands of dollars worth of electronics, so we want to protect them. So we'll be back with that in a few minutes. But again, it's brought to you by Home Team today. We do home inspections. When you buy or sell properties, we'll inspect the house and give you an unemotional view of the house so you know what you're buying. My motto is comfort to close. I mean, every house is saleable. It just matters whether you know what you're buying, and no surprises are a good thing. You can reach me at 973-547-7748, or you can always email me at lmcentee@hometeam.com. That's L-M-C-E-N-T-E-E. At hometeamoneword.com. And send me any questions or any topics you'd like to see us cover. We're going to run a few commercials. We'll run the weather, and then we'll be back with Donna. So hang in there. Give me a few seconds here.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Okay, let's look at the weather. My forecast here says 45 degrees and a low of 35, but I understand that we're expecting some rain tonight and maybe some black ice, so take it easy tonight. It's supposed to start around 10, but I guess that dividing line is funny in the state. It's along the 78 corridor, so in being in Flemington, we're either in it or out of it, but be careful out there tonight if you're driving for that black ice. Friday, we're looking at rain, 50 degrees and a low of 26, so a similar situation. Saturday, Sunday looks good. We're partly cloudy, sunny. And high of 44 and low of 33. Considering it's the middle of February, I think we're getting pretty good weather. So we'll see what happens there. I'll be right back with Donna. Let's just do one more commercial and we'll be back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, I'm back. This is Larry, and I'm with Donna DeVico. sales and marketing director at Zero Surge, a company here in Lambertville, I believe, right?
Frenchtown,
okay. That produces surge protectors for the house. Now, everybody seems to think they know about surge protectors, but we're going to tell you something about them that maybe not so natural to know, and some things that you can do to protect your devices. But, Don, I want you to introduce yourself, tell the people what you do and where you're at and how they can contact you, so if they find it interesting today, they can know where to get some more information.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Larry. My name is Donna DeVico, and I've been the sales and marketing director at Zero Surge. I've been there for almost 22 years now. The company has been in business for over 30 years, manufacturing surge protectors in Frenchtown, New Jersey. There are very few USA-made surge protectors, and this product is one of them. The website, if you want to know more about Zero Surge, is ZeroSurge.com, ZeroSurge.com. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is ddevico, D-D-E-V-I-C-O, at ZeroSurge.com. And you can call us at 908-996-7700. We're also on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
Okay, 20 years. Is the company older than that even?
The company's over 30, and I've been there for almost 22 years.
Wow, that's quite impressive. I lived in Raritan Township for a while, and I never knew of it.
It's a nondescript location.
And I knew a lot about power surges when I was back in my day in the technology world, because we dealt with big power, 440 voltage and power conditioners and Liebert air conditioners and raised floors. But, when you think about it, when I first got into that business, if you had a PC at home, you were lucky if you had a PC.
Right.
Yeah, TV was probably the most expensive electronic gadget, or your refrigerator or your washer and dryer, and they were pretty stable. But today, yes. I look around and in my house, there's got to be four tablets, four laptops, how many flat screens,
gaming equipment.
Yeah, my iPad Watch is $600.
Right.
That's plugged in. Maybe you can tell us. I always thought my power was good. I mean, why should we be concerned, and what do small businesses and individuals have to fear?
Well, most people, when they think of power surges, they think of the large power surges that you get from lightning and a utility company, power outages, and then the power comes back on. But they're unaware that 80% of power surges occur inside the home or building. So equipment cycling on and off, turning a light switch on and off, vacuuming, an iron, a printer, anything with a motor, a compressor, or a heating element, all those things, cycling on and off, create surges. In buildings, it could be an elevator or, some more industrial-type equipment cycling on and off. But they all send surges throughout the building, which then can come out other outlets and then into your sensitive electronics. So, anything you have plugged into the outlet is experiencing surges on a daily basis, wearing down the components, and most people are unaware of that.
So even if it doesn't affect it, it actually wears out the component?
You won't have that catastrophic surge that you'll get from, the larger surges, but those smaller surges are constantly wearing down the components. So if your computer, doesn't last as long as you thought it would, or your flat screen display, a lot of that is the degradation from power line surges.
When I run my air compressor in the garage, which is probably the biggest surge I see, because when that thing kicks on, the whole house takes a little bit of a blink.
It's sending surges out,
right.
That's for sure.
And if I leave it plugged in, in the middle of the night sometimes, the air pressure goes down and all of a sudden it goes it's only for 5 seconds or so, but you're telling me that I'm giving all my electronic devices a hit then.
Even your refrigerator cycling on and off does that.
Right.
So, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting because, we all have those things in the house. I know freezers and refrigerators are one of the big draws. They spike when they start.
Right.
They don't use much power when they're running, but when they start, they have there's a big hit to turn that motor over.
Right. And in businesses, when computers act strangely, like you may have a lost file or, it crashes, a lot of times the software is blamed or the hard drive. But it could be surges creating those issues.
Yeah, and I understand. I understand that because I remember learning when I learned programming. It's all electrical current.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize it's a 0-1. you know, EBCDIC code is 01, the switch is either on or off, and it's responsible for every piece of data you're storing.
Right.
If it gets a surge when it's recording that, it's going to record two zeros instead of a 01. So.
Right, and now every businesses rely on data, so you don't want any lost data. So,
why do I have to worry about if I buy that, you know, I buy that power strip from Staples that says surge protection, and then it's got eight outlets on it, and I've got eight and a half things plugged into it?
Well, the type that you see at Staples, you know, the large big box stores or office supply stores, typical surge protectors contain components called metal oxide varistors. They are components the size of a quarter. They're ceramic coated, and every time they see a surge, they wear out. So they do have a life to them. They don't last forever. Now, you probably, if I asked you how old is your surge suppressor, you probably have no idea.
I have no idea.
And most people don't. They just plug their equipment in, put it on the floor, and that's it.
I know I got one from Beneficial, and I worked at Beneficial in 1985, so guess what?
Well, that's very bad.
That's at least 25 years old or 35 years old, right?
We'll get into the fire hazard in a little bit. But, typical protectors contain metal oxide varistors. They wear out, they degrade. Also, they have to reach a fixed clamping level before they begin working on the surge, handling the surge. So, in the meantime, that surge is getting through to your equipment, and that level can be quite high. They also send the surge to the ground line. When the surge hits the MOV, metal oxide varistor, we call them MOVs, that surge goes to the ground line. It's diverted. Now it can travel on the ground line and come out another outlet on the same circuit in the same room, or maybe another room that's wired to that same circuit, and into another piece of equipment that's not protected.
Well, I understand, people, that normally in a house you can have up to basically 10 outlets on one line. So you're telling me in my room I have my two computers, my two screens, and I got it plugged into a good surge protector. That absorbs the surge, puts it back into the ground, and now it comes up on the outlet upstairs that's on the same line. And my wife's PC is connected to that. She's collecting it.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct. That is
So I'm not sending it to the ground. I might be sending it to somebody else. I'm just protecting my stuff.
It's the way that technology
works.
But
I'm sending it somewhere else.
Right. And zero surge technology was designed around the shortcomings of the metal oxide varistor technology. We don't use MOVs. What we have is a filter. It's filter technology. We have an inductor. So when the surge comes in, this filter slows down, the inductor slows down the surge, and then anything after that is stored in a series of capacitors. And then what's left is slowly released to the neutral line and goes back out to the power company.
Right.
So,
or into the ground, actually, right?
It goes out the building. It never touches the ground, like the internal ground in the building. So, we preserve the ground line, which is really what you want to do. And components don't degrade, they don't wear out, and they're certified to withstand a minimum of 1,000 worst-case surges of 6,000 volts, 3,000 amps. We offer a 10-year warranty on all our products, but we have them out there for over 30 years. We can bring them back. We can test them on our computerized test set, and they still test the current production standards. That's another thing.
Let me ask you about that.
Sure.
The warranty, your product's warranted, but my PC, you know, it's plugged into there when I'm at home, but I take it to Starbucks, and I'm working in Starbucks, and I plug it in there in the morning. It's not protected now. And so it's hard for you to say, I'm going to come back to you and say, look, my PC blew up. It's because your surge protector. And you're going to say, where was it plugged in?
Well, you could either get a small one and carry it around.
Right.
Or you could just run it off the battery
when you're plugging in anywhere, you don't know what you're...
People travel. They go to hotels.
Right.
They will take our product with them.
And people are concerned about plugging into unknown networks.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not concerned with plugging in unknown power sources.
Right. People are concerned about cybersecurity and all that, but not their power security.
Right. And it's interesting that you say that, because, I mean, you're plugged into Starbucks, you might be in the same, you know, circuit or the same system as the deep fryer and the oven in the back.
Exactly.
So every time they turn that Frappuccino machine on, it's getting a big jolt, and so is your laptop.
That's right. As a matter of fact, one of our largest customers is Wendy's International. They were having problems with their point-of-sale equipment. They were getting tickets in because the front-end registers were going down. Reason being, they were using battery backups on everything because they have to have that. They send a lot of data, too, back to the corporate. But the heavy equipment in the kitchen was sending surges throughout the building. So the let-through on a battery backup or a UPS is very high. And they do nothing for surge protection because that's just way too high for sensitive electronics. So what they did is they evaluated our 2R series product to put ahead of the battery backup. And when they did that, no surges taking out the front-end equipment. So we started that in 2008. They've been a customer since, and we even designed a special product for them for their drive-thrus and digital menu boards.
It's funny you talk about that. In my earlier business, I had a guy named Norman Dobrotrosky, a great technician, and had a customer that their system was crapping out so often, and they couldn't figure out why. And it was a doctor's office, and we finally went there. We sat there, and the system's running fine. And all of a sudden, the system got a blip, and it rebooted. Mm-hmm. It was that big of a surge that it actually sensed no power in the power, and then the system would reboot.
Right.
And this was a microvac, so it wasn't like a PC. It's running the whole office.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard this click noise, and we traced it to the X-ray room. They had run the RS-232 lines, which are the computer connection lines, the old ones before you had the little phone types. And they run the wires through the office up and over the X-ray room. Every time the doctor took a back X-ray, because it was a chiropractor, 40,000 volts got absorbed into the system, and it crashed the system.
Wow.
But, you wouldn't have known it if you weren't sitting there. My technician sitting there, he hears this click, click. He's like, what's that? He goes, oh, he's taking a back X-ray. As soon as he did it, the system would crash. And he didn't do a lot of them because it was a chiropractor. He did maybe one every other day or so.
Right.
But, it traced it to a surge, like you said, from within the building.
Right.
I mean, they had PSE&G there, said, no, the power is good and this and that.
You were there at the right time to
catch
that.
But it was inside the building, which nobody would ever know.
Right, so, that's right.
It just goes to show you what you're saying there about the surges. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. I got a couple commercials to run at the 15-minute mark here, but then we'll be back. I got some more questions for you, Donna, because I think people got to know what they can do, what they can consider, and big thing is cost. And I'm not looking for you to put numbers on things here in the show. We don't do that, but just an idea for people that they think that it's thousands of dollars. I can't afford that. I think they'd be very much surprised that people can take steps and protect their equipment for a lot less than that.
Sure.
So we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back. This is Larry, again, with Home Again, with Larry and Jeannie and Larry. But Jeannie's going to be on next week, but this week it's me. We have Donna DeVicchio.
DeVicco,
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I want to say DeVicchio because
it's often mispronounced.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's the phone.
And we're talking about power in the house, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about what is a practical starting point for a homeowner? What should they be looking to do?
Well, first of all, you want to look at the items you have in your home that you want to protect. Your computer, your flat screen TV, audio system, anything with microprocessors are vulnerable to surge damage. So anything like that that you wouldn't want to have to replace, would be inconvenient to replace, expensive to replace, and you want to protect those items, that's really what you want to look for. If another thing you want to look for if you're in an older home is if you are ungrounded, that's a serious situation, and you should not be using typical surge protection in an ungrounded home or building. Those surge protectors require the ground, so if you don't have it, it's dangerous to use them. Our technology is the only type of technology that can be used for surge protection in an ungrounded environment. You know, you do want it to make sure, you know, you're not using surge protection in an ungrounded building, except series mode filter technology.
Okay, because, I mean, one of the things in home inspections, you know, one of the things we do is we test outlets, and we try to test all of them if we can, but it's a random number because you can't get to all of them because I'm not allowed to move furniture. But there's a number of times I find that it's ungrounded or reverse polarity, and just so you know what reverse polarity means is when you hook the wrong wire up to the wrong side of the outlet. There is a reason why your plugs are bigger on one side and not and skinnier on the other, because the current will run in a certain direction. It runs both ways, and it still works the lamp, but it's still wrong if it's running in the wrong direction. And it can cause electrical shock in a certain situation. You know, basically on a lamp, it electrifies the ground is usually the outside of the lamp. And if you're running current the wrong way and you become the ground, you're going to get a little shock from just touching your lamp. So
that's right. You know, so hot and neutral cannot be reversed. Right. You should have proper polarity, and that's pretty easy. Even if you're a homeowner to check, you can buy a little polarity checker from the big box stores or the hardware store and just plug it in and the lights light up and tell you whether hot and neutral or reversed.
That's what I have. And I have one from Sperry, just so you know, it's a little bit bigger. It's nice because it instead of having to read the lights pattern, it has different lights for every failure. It'll light up the first red one for a neutral and reverse or ungrounded outlet, and then it lights up green when it's everything's checks out.
Right.
And it's $20.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it's an
well
easy. And then on the other side, it's a current checker. So if you're looking at replacing an outlet and you want to make sure the current is off, you just point it the other way and press the button. It'll tell you if there's power in the box, because oftentimes power comes from two different directions, and people think I shut the circuit breaker off, and then they get a jolt.
Right.
You got to make sure that I always tell people before you touch any wire, put a voltage a detector on it.
Right.
At least that.
You really can't assume either, because we had work done in our house, and before the electrical inspector came around, my husband went around with the polarity checker and checked the outlets, and one of them that was newly installed was reversed. So, I mean, he caught it before and then told the contractor, but. You know, you just can't assume just because it's new or
right.
That
if you,
it's right.
If you do it in the wrong spot, if you do it in the first outlet on the string, every one after that is reversed. So, I mean, you can reverse the polarity on the first one, and now the neutral is the hot wire on all the other boxes, so you got to be careful there. Mm-hmm. That's why I refer licensed electricians a lot of times. And people say, why are you doing that? I said, because there are some nuances that are not – you know, the YouTube video does explain some of that, but sometimes they don't do a good job of explaining. You know, they just show you the collecting the wires. They don't tell you that, you know, your hot wire should go to your copper screw. There's a reason why the screws in an outlet are two different colors. Oftentimes people use the spring connections in the back, and then it's a little harder to detect that. So that goes back to the home inspection side,
right.
A little bit of voltage here. But just so you know, it's not that obvious. And in Hunterdon County, you got to be careful, because you still have houses with knob and tube wiring that don't have a ground wire.
That's right.
There is no ground in the house in that particular outlet. And there you want to get a licensed electrician, because they can do one of two things. They can run new wire, or they can ground it with the BX wiring, which uses the outer casing of the metal boxes. The trouble with that is if you've gone to plastic boxes, which most people have, you no longer have that ground in place. So you've got to be careful. And some devices don't use a ground. So, I mean, a typical lamp may not, but you tie the ground under the box. But if
right.
the box is not grounded, it's not doing anything.
And our products do have the three-prong, because that is code. I mean, you have to have that the three-prong plug on your electronics. But if you're using our product in an ungrounded building, the best thing to do is change out the receptacle to a GFCI, because you will still have, you know, it will still trip if there's a short in the equipment.
It doesn't so much protect you with the ground back to the ground.
Right.
But it will cut off the power.
It's for your own
safety. People tell you that GFCI saves people lives. AFCIs, which are now required in the bedrooms and living areas, save houses because they stop fires. because they stop the overheating. The GFCI stops the current. And typically people associate that with the kitchen and the bathrooms because it's near the water.
Right.
But you can put a GFCI anywhere.
Exactly.
Just be aware, though, you got to be careful. You don't want to plug certain things into GFCIs. Like you don't want the refrigerator into a GFCI because if it trips, your refrigerator is going off. You'll never know it till everything defrosts. So there are some devices that they don't recommend. Some pumps are one of them that you, typically the code says they should be in the GFCI, but most people won't put them in it for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some nomenclature there. I'm not going to try to explain all of current to you, but let me ask you something. You mentioned electronic devices, but a lot of my electronic devices only have two plugs. I mean, two prongs. I mean, like my Apple chargers. There's not a third ground on there.
Right.
It may be spaded, so I can't put
that's
it in a
certain way.
That's
the power supply. You're talking about the power supply.
Yeah, the power supply, like when I plug it, you know, to charge it. And if you read about in the paper, a lot of the fires that are coming out, electronic problems are coming out when the chargers are plugged in.
Well, yeah, they shouldn't be on for longer than, you know, they're as soon as the charge is complete, you should be unplugging the charger. But people will leave them in, you know, for extended periods
of
time.
Well, if you read the instructions, it says that they'll shut off when they're fully charged.
Yeah,
but if I look at my nightstand right now, there's a watch charger there that's built into a console, and that's plugged in all the time, and I just drop the watch on it when I want to charge it.
Right.
And the one next to it is a phone charger, and that's plugged in all the time. Is that wrong? Should I be shutting that off?
Well, I don't do that, but I mean, I charge my battery on my phone overnight. I'm not on the bed. You know, I put it.
No, it's in a
you know.
Right, but
I know a lot of people do that, but
well,
for
I get
safety,
mad at my son when I see his laptop on the bed.
Yeah, you know. And my kids too do the same thing. But
the two prong though, are you? I mean, am I not protected with that device if it's charging through that, or is the battery charger doing the protection of the device?
In what way?
Like my iPhone, the battery charger's got two prongs on it. Doesn't have the third prong.
Right.
I'm plugging it in that wall.
Yeah.
Am I protected from surges or
no?
So I still should be plugging that into a surge protector.
It's still being plugged into an outlet that's giving you dirty power.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So even though it doesn't have that third prong, I still should be plugging that into a surge protector, which will have the third prong.
Correct.
Okay. So that will grab the dirty power before
it
gets to my device.
Well, you know, it's you're charging the power supply that you're charging is connected to the laptop. So if a surge comes through, I mean, it could still.
I thought maybe there was one built into the battery power.
I mean, it there could be some type of MOV in some of those, but. Again, if it's a metal oxide varistor, it isn't going to give you any level of protection that a series mode protector could give you, will give you.
And the one thing you don't do, people, and I've seen it, and I've seen it in many houses, is you can't cut the third prong off if you've got two prong outlets.
Oh, no. I mean, if you can't change out your outlet to a GFCI when you want to use our product, then you can do the 3-2 adapter. We recommend the GFCI, but you should never, ever cut the grounding prong off.
And even a 2-3 usually has a wire or a screw that should be wired to the box so there's a ground. But, I mean, I've been in houses where they've pulled off the third prong so they can plug the air conditioner in. And it's kind of scary because, then you have no protection.
Right.
So people, that you know, there's a reason why the device comes with a three prong, not so you can pull it off and plug it in.
So talking about fire hazards, that's another issue with the typical surge protectors that I did want to talk about because safety is very important to Zero Surge and the education of safety with surge suppression. If you have a metal oxide varistor protector now and you don't know how old it is, like Larry, chances are it's no longer working. They have a life. They should be replaced every 3 months to 3 years, depending on the surge environment. So you don't really know how long they've been, susceptible to these surges or the size surges. So you really should take them out of service and replace them. We have a thing we say around Zero Surge that no surge protector is better than MOV protection because there is a fire hazard involved with MOV protectors. The metal oxide varistor, when it takes so many surges and it has a rating, and once it can't take anymore, it can overheat. So a large surge comes in, hits the MOV, it starts cooking for an extended period of time, and then it can explode. There have been many fires from MOV products. In 2013, APC recalled 15 million surge protectors due to catastrophic fires and personal injury. The Consumer Product Safety Commission recalled them. there locally, there have been fires in Kingwood Township that we're aware of from surge protectors over the last several years. If you have them, what you want to do, like I said, how old are they? If they're too old, get rid of them. You want to shake them. You want to pick them up. You want to shake them. If you hear any rattling inside, that means that ceramic coating on the MOV has deteriorated. You want to take it out of service. If you look at the cabinetry, if it's plastic and you see burn marks, or if you see melting discoloration, that means that there was overheating involved and you should take it out of service. So they are risky. We have an entire page on our website devoted to MOV safety. So our website is a great resource for information of all types, you know, safety.
What's the website again?
So it's zerosurge.com, ZeroSurge.com.
Well, you mentioned whole house surge protectors. I have one on my box. It's, you know, it's on the first circuit. And it's plugged in, it's fixed. So it's not something you want to replace every so often. But there's also an LED on it that's green and red. So is that doing a monitoring of that device?
I don't know
if it has an MOV in it. You've brought up some subjects here that I want to go read about to see if it has an MOV in it.
Well, whole building surge protectors contain metal oxide varistors.
And so that's probably what that indicator is, that because it says if it takes a hit or over time, if that thing turns red, then you replace it.
Right. The thing about the whole building is that the let-through of surge energy is set very high. If it wasn't, then they'd be wearing out too quickly. So the manufacturers of whole building surge protectors will tell you that they should be. You should have supplemental protection downstream on your sensitive electronics because, you know, with about 700 volts or more of surge energy let through, that's way too high for sensitive electronics. So they'll tell you to get supplemental point-of-use protection. And that's where, you know, people will say, oh, I have whole building surge protection, but I see I need point of use, and they'll find us. But really, if you're using our products at the point of use on your electronics, you don't need the whole building surge protector. It's not doing anything for it.
Well, if you happen to plug it in by mistake or just for a couple of hours, or somebody plugs their stuff in, it protects them a little bit. It's from the major surge.
Well, anything more than 400 volts will damage your sensitive electronics. So the surge goes right through the whole building. They call it zoned protection or the first level of defense, but it's not really the first level. The first level is the first item that's going to protect your device from the surge, and that would be the plug-in point of use because it goes right through the whole building suppressor.
I never looked at it as protecting the individuals. I looked at it as for the catastrophic car accident that hits the pole, makes that thing jump.
Even that, if it's something like that, that's not a surge, though. That's a fault. A surge is classified as anything 6,000 volts, 3,000 amps. That's the largest classified surge according to the American National Standards Institute. If it's longer or larger, it's not a surge. It's a fault or an extreme overvoltage, and even the whole building protector wouldn't protect from that.
Interesting. Because it does tell you in the instructions that it can't guarantee. I mean, a lightning strike, you know,
nothing would protect
down the street, and you're going to take that hit. I mean, it will melt. I mean, we had a system when I was working, and it took a lightning hit, and it literally melted the back plane of the. When you open the back of the computer up, the solder was literally a pool of solder in the back. I mean, and that was from a confirmed lightning strike.
No surge protector can protect from a direct lightning strike. That's going to melt
it
wires.
It fried everything through everything that it traveled to.
Right.
It fried.
Yeah, that's where the grounding, earth ground, and lightning rods, if you're in an area where you have a lot of lightning, that's what we recommend.
And even that, the lightning rods only work if it draws it away from that.
Because
a lot of times with a lightning rod, it'll hit the lightning rod, but it also hits the power, and guess what? It's still taking the hit, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I learned that on the bigger end, but I thought on the smaller end I was more protected. See, I'm learning something new.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that they still recommended at point of protection.
Yes.
But I thought I was somewhat protected. I thought that was like a coverall, you know, in the sense like an umbrella. So, and maybe I got to pay attention to more of it and what it's made out of. I didn't know about MOVs.
And if you're doing home inspections and you see those in a home, you don't know how long they've been there either. So that might give the homeowner a false sense of protection. Oh, you know, I have this house comes with a whole building surge protector. I'm protected from surges, but that's not the case. I mean, first of all, you don't know when that, you know, was installed, if it has any damage on it, if that working light indicator is working, because they don't always work.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, though, because, you know, I know some electricians that don't understand them either. And they're licensed electricians.
Yes.
They look at it and say, oh, it's a surge protector. It's protecting your house.
It's true.
But they don't know that it has a life expectancy, and it's the green light's lit, so it's working.
It's true. We have done some of the meetings in Hunterdon County and have, you know, we do have some local electricians that are using and installing our products. We have not only plug-in models, we also have branch circuit protection. So if there's a hardwired device that needs protection, or there's a media room, an electrician is putting in a media room, home theater, and they have a closet with all the media equipment, you can use one of our branch circuit protectors that gets wired at the panel on that dedicated 20-amp circuit to the equipment, so that you don't have to put it at the point of use, as long as it's on a dedicated circuit. So we do have electricians.
Well, that's interesting, because I have, like, my office. When I built my office, it's wired. The data plugs are all on one circuit for that reason. They're isolated. And you're saying I could protect you know, my eight plugs at the box because it's only
been
on there.
Well, we normally recommend it to one receptacle, one,
okay,
you know, like one rack with equipment, because if you have eight receptacles running off that branch circuit, and then you plug a vacuum into one of those outlets that would be running off that branch circuit.
These are dedicated because they're where the data, you know, then, they're under the counter. They're, you know, it's almost like in a panel for the data.
Okay, as long as nothing that would generate a surge,
so the wife
can be
won't
plugged.
Plug a vacuum into it.
Yeah.
It's exactly why it is there.
It has
There are the outlets in the room that are convenience outlets.
Right, dedicated
to
just that.
But the data ones are for
data.
Yeah, yeah. But so I never thought of protecting the surge, and that's probably a good idea, because that's where all my chargers are lined up too. And then I have, you know, in a home inspector, I'm plugging in, you know, a $400 flashlight.
Right.
Now you laugh, but it's a $400
expensive
flashlight.
Right.
Oh. And it charges it every other day because it, you know, it draws a lot of power. It's an LED, but I charge it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be expensive if I was blowing up that LED flashlight, and I never thought of it taking a surge hit like that.
It might not even blow it up. Maybe it's not going to last as long.
Well, you said that before, and I started thinking
about
my repairs.
And the light, the bulbs, even the bulbs on it, if it's an LED.
If the light was to go tomorrow, I would think it was because I dropped it off the roof or something. I would never associate it with a power failure.
Right.
So that's interesting. And I also have things like gas detectors and things like that, and they all charge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do have it plugged into a surge protector, but I don't think it's an expensive one or one that I don't understand what the technology they're using.
The funny thing is, it really, you can find MOV protectors that are, you know, several hundred dollars or more. We've even seen them, you know, when you get into the audio world, thousands of dollars, and they contain metal oxide varistors. It really isn't about the cost, it's about the technology. If they contain metal oxide varistors, they're going to wear out, they're going to degrade, and they're not going to handle worst case surges. So
we're going to have you guys come up probably. We do home inspection education for home inspectors, and you'd make a great teacher for one of our CU classes, because we're required to take 40 hours of CU credits every 2 years.
Ah.
And we bring electricians in, we bring different people in, and I think you'd be a great topic for that.
Mm.
I'll have to look into that and see if the state will approve a CU course for that.
We're very much into education.
You'd be a great your company and yourself would be a great provider of information, because I think there's a lot of home inspectors that don't understand it. We think that, you know, it's got a surge protector with a circuit breaker on it. It's, you know, it's got that little red button.
Right.
It's protected.
And it's not true.
But, you know, and so it's a lot of false security.
We have.
I guess I would say I'd rather see people doing something than nothing, but it doesn't mean you're protected.
No. And you because of the fire risk, we, you know, we don't always think that it's better to have the MOVs. And we've actually done worked with the fire marshal in Hunterdon County. He did a safety presentation at the libraries in the area, and I made a sheet for him to give out to the public, because if you have the MOV protectors, they are fire hazards, and, you know, you should really be careful. So we are all about education, and we're happy to educate whenever possible.
Well, that's great. Because, you know, you said that about fire protection, and one of the things that bugs me is when I see multiple power surges, multiple surge protectors plugged into each other.
Hmm.
I mean,
that's daisy chaining.
Well, you laugh, but I mean, I did a house yesterday that had
bad.
It was an outside, it had a regular plastic 8-prong protector on the deck, screwed to the side of the house, but it was plugged into a house extension cord that was run underneath the deck and up the wall to the outdoor outlet with no protection.
Oh.
And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, man, this is like, you know, ready for the side of the house to catch fire. And actually, when I plugged my tester in, it was wired correctly, but it was faint. So it wasn't getting the right current to the end.
Right.
So if you plug something in there, it's gonna it's not going to run correctly because it's not
an
getting,
accident
it's not
waiting
getting
to happen,
power,
though.
And you're drawing too much power through a house extension cord.
Right. And you know what? If anything was to happen, insurance companies will not pay out. If you have homeowners insurance and they you know, the forensics reveal that environment, yeah, you're not going to get any payout on your home insurance because that's misapplication. That right. violates code.
Right. Well, we don't do code enforcement because, I mean, code is, you know, funny thing about code is it's different in every building you go into. A house that was built in 1800s has a different code than a house that was built last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they never approve a house today with knob and tube wiring, but there are plenty right. of houses around with knob and tube wiring.
Right. Safety code, though, would violate that.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that insurance companies are always looking
home
for
inspectors
ways to...
we avoid the word code because you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to tell people code is a minimal standard to build a house. Do you want to live in a house that's built to the minimal standards, or do you want a house that's built to a safety standard?
Right.
So hopefully your home inspector is doing a safety inspection, not a code inspection.
Yes.
I'll give you an example. One thing is your railings are 6 inches apart, the balusters. It's not a code violation if the house was built 25 years ago. It was built last week. It is a code violation. But it's still a safety hazard no matter when it was built.
Right.
So I identify it as a 6-inch gap, and then you may want to watch small children around this or dogs because they can stick their head through it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you have to rip it out and replace it. It just means that you may want to be aware, and if you replace the railing, make sure they replace it with a standard that meets today's.
Right.
So there's things like that. And power's the same way. Electricity is funny that way, though. I mean, I think you've got to ask your electrician questions of whether they understand if they do work in power surge. Because I think a lot of electricians are great electricians, but they're great for running lines. They're great for running the line to the meter box and everything else, but they're not so great on the sensitive equipment.
Right.
Not every electrician does computer work. Computers is what I think of. When I think of computers, I'm not only thinking of like my desktop. I'm thinking of my watch as a computer now. My cell phone is a computer
exactly.
now. Exactly. I mean, my cell phone has more memory and more disk space in it than the first data center I ever sold.
Right, they're computer.
Yeah,
we actually have a model that we designed just with a four-port USB receptacle on it because in businesses, people will plug their smartphones into their business computer to charge the device.
Oh, yeah, USB.
But you have the potential to introduce a virus then into your business computer. And so we have a device where you can charge your phones right through it. It's just an extra receptacle on there.
I think that's the popularity of people buying the outlets with the USB built in.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have surge protections, but I'm wondering now, I'm going to start seeing what kind of surge protection.
Well,
just because the box says surge
protection. If it has a Joule rating, or it should have or it's called an SPD, then it's MOV based. So a Joule rating definitely is a rating of an MOV, so it would have that. And by UL safety standards, say you have to disclose the let-through. So if it has a let-through number, then that would also indicate an MOV inside.
Well, you've educated me there. I think I got some reading to do, and I won't pretend to understand it completely now. I'm going to your website because, I bought some outlets around the kitchen counter now that have the USBs in them because the kids are always plugging things in. I'm plugging things in, and it's so much easier not to have a power adapter. You just plug the USB in.
Right.
But I have no idea what I'm plugging into, in other words. I think I'm protected, but maybe I'm not.
We do have a factory store on our website where the public can purchase at a discount and with free shipping.
Well, hold on. We're going to do a couple commercials. Then you come back
okay.
and summarize that, and we'll let people know what more. They do have a store, so they have something. They also have a website with a lot of information, and I know Donna would answer any questions you guys have. So we'll have her back. I mean, I'm sure somewhere down the future, maybe we'll have her on with an electrician. It'll be interesting to have a conversation that way because it just goes to show you. And I don't mean that your electrician's wrong. And
no.
Please don't think I'm bad-mouthing any electrician just like anything else. But technology changes daily. Our requirements change daily, guys. We're plugging things in now that we never thought we'd be plugging in before. Donna mentioned that we leave things plugged in all day long sometimes, and you shouldn't be doing that. I go nuts when I go into my son's room and the laptop's on the bed on a comforter. Charging and it's got a lithium battery in it, and I'm thinking that lithium battery overheats. I mean, there goes the house. I mean, so we'll be right back. Hang on 1 second.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterton at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterton, the voice for mental health in Hunterton County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provide sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterton Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Okay, we're back. We're back with Donna from Zero Surge. And we've had some great conversation about power. And we're just talking here in the studio, and we're all going to run home and check our plugs and check what we're plugging into and start looking at some dates and maybe even do some more research on MOVs and what the difference is. And I'm going to go to your website and learn more about it, because if you're as confused, and I'm in the, you know, and I, don't get me wrong, I'm in the inspection business, but I'm still confused. Mm-hmm. So if you're out there and you're a little confused, I hope what our discussion today did is just open your eyes that it takes a little bit more to it. The good news is there is the internet out there, and there's plenty of good information out there, but be wary where you get your information from, too. I mean, if you're looking at a site that manufactures surge protectors, you might want to read maybe a couple of them. I mean, we talked during the break, and I bought a brand name thinking I'm buying the best protection, but that doesn't always translate.
Mm-hmm.
So, Donna, maybe you could tell what information. You said you had a store, and maybe
yes.
You give your company information, because if people want to know more, they can go there and they can see what they offer, and they can see the pricing and everything else.
Right. Our website is very educational, but we also have an online factory store. And if there's a button called Buy Now, if you click on that button, it takes you to the online factory store where we do sell the products discounted and with free shipping. That would be for the plug-in models. We have 2, 6, 8. And 10 outlet plug-in models that you just, you know, they come in a box, you plug them into the wall outlet, and you plug your equipment in. It's very simple. We have IT providers that use our products in their businesses. So if you have an IT provider, you might want to ask about a surge protection. We just recently partnered with eSquare IT Consulting. They're a local company that we met through the Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, they Eric Emerson is the proprietor, and he's specifying our products into his installation. So maybe your IT provider has them or can contact us for more information. For branch circuit models, like I mentioned, the electricians install, we have a lot of local electricians doing that now, and as well as the plug-ins.
Will you help with referrals?
Oh, yes. If they call, we will be happy to refer them to electricians that we know that are, or you can have the electrician call us. If you have an electrician that's not using it.
So if you like one and if you're willing to learn.
We'd be happy to give them the information about our products. And then finally, manufacturers use our products. We have open chassis modules that manufacturers design in to their
products. Embed them into their products.
Right. Okay. So manufacturers we deal with also. If you're coming out with a new product and you want to have surge protection built in to increase the reliability, we can do that too.
Do you have everything? Do you have single like port things like you said for travel? I mean, is there
the smallest one we have is a 2-outlet.
Okay, well that's interesting because, you know, I mean, I'm on the road all the time. I'm always plugging in the Panera, mm-hmm. Starbucks, plugging in, and they're very gracious there. You can go there, get a cup of coffee, and you can work for an hour.
I mean, it's.
I'd love to have a search.
It isn't lightweight. I'll tell you, our technology is very robust. It's in a metal enclosure, very high-end receptacles, so it does have some weight to it. But people do take them around. I mean, they travel with them. We have DJs that take them around. You know, when they're doing their musical shows,
sure.
or musicians equipment. Doing musical shows use our products, and they take. You know, so it's really more about how much you're willing to do to protect your equipment.
Right, and how much what your exposure is, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does it take if you carry it around and you plug it in, and you sense if it just gives you another ability,
right,
to get clean power.
But we're happy to work with everybody. You
great,
just call in. Great. We have excellent customer service, so we are happy to help people with their surge protection requirements.
And you read about it more and more. I mean, with the lithium batteries and everything else, and what triggers them, I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes it's because it's overheating. Sometimes it's a faulty battery. But, you know, I hear about them, but then you never really, you know, they have an investigation, but we never get the results of that. I mean, how many times have you seen on a plane where they had a laptop catch fire, but then you never knew why?
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you what, I have a portable LED light that has lithium batteries in it, and they kind of fell out in my bag, but they were touching each other, and they literally heated up.
Yeah.
And they melted the end of the batteries in my bag, and I never even knew it until I went to use the device, and the end of the battery was all kind of corroded and melted.
Yeah.
It was because they came in contact.
Right. Even 9-volt transistor batteries cause fires if they come in contact like that.
Yeah, people don't realize, a 9-volt, like you said, it's the top of it. That's why when you throw them away, they tell you to cover, tape the top.
Right. Put electrical tape across.
I remember a story when the garbage truck caught fire, and they traced it to a 9-volt battery that was in the garbage. And they tell you that, you know, the old carbon batteries you can throw in the garbage. You don't recycle them like you do the lithium.
Mm-hmm.
But they threw it in the garbage, and it grounded out against a soda can or something, heated up, and set the garbage truck on fire. Now you got a $250,000 garbage truck on fire.
Right.
So I think a lot of people pass it off as a device failure, and it may be a power surge or a power condition that was avoidable.
If you precede the battery backup with that product, too, it stops the battery from engaging from those small surges that might make the battery kick on. So your UPS will actually last longer if you're using, a battery backup for your computer equipment. So you get more life out of the battery as well because it's not kicking on.
Yeah, for a long time, we were selling, it was big when PCs first come out, that a small UPS for home, because everybody had desktops. I mean, they almost died away when people went laptops because... You know, now I'm working at home. When the power goes out, my laptop stays up.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know.
One thing I wanted to mention, generator power.
Okay.
When people are using generators, you know, where you have the power outage, you could put your standby generator on. You should not be using typical surge protectors with those because they're not usually grounded. So if you have our products there, I mean, we're going to protect your electronics even with the generator power because our technology operates over a wide voltage range. So when the power, it's from 85 to 175 volts. So when the power dips, when you have sags, brownouts, or generator power, which is variable, our product will protect your sensitive electronics even over those conditions, during those conditions.
That is a real big point, and we could have probably spent a couple more minutes on that.
Because I wanted to mention that, and
no,
I forgot.
No, because I do a lot of houses that either have the transfer switch where they have to set up the generator and plug it in the side of the house, or they have the automatic one that kicks on all by itself, and then that runs through and it replaces utility power. And if it's done right, there's a lockout that prevents them from electrocuting the street, which some I've actually done some where they're not.
Right.
And when their generator goes on, they're running electric current back to the pole, and they risk injuring alignment.
Yes.
But I know the generator power is anything but clean because the engine, you can hear it running.
You can see your lights going up and down.
And then when the power comes back on, there's a phase where if it's not done right, both of them are starting to feed in, and one's cutting off and one's cutting in. And if it's done right, it shouldn't do that. But generator power. So should your devices work with generators too?
It's recommended, yes. It's designed to work with generators.
I tell you what, when the first storms hit, nobody had them around me, but I had a transfer generator put in where I plug. And I can guarantee you, if I set up the generator, put gas in, and get it running, plug it inside the house, power comes back on. Happens every time.
We have that same issue.
Right. But my wife used to complain because my generator would be running and making noise. But now everybody around us, the power goes out, and like 3 minutes later, all I hear is everybody's standby generator's running automatically, and I got to take mine out.
No, my husband has to get ours out too, but I think he likes to play with it.
Well, I do too, but I tell you what, it never seems to fail. I don't care if it's 2 in the afternoon or 2 in the morning. I get it out, I put I keep it dry, you know, and mm-hmm. I put gas in it, I'll fire it up, it gets running, I plug it inside the house, flip the transfer switch, and the damn power comes back on from the utility company. But I tell you what, I looked like God during Sandy when I had power in my house and all my refrigerators. And Thanksgiving when I could switch the power from the hot water heater to the stove and we could still cook the turkey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things out there with power, guys. So I don't want you to be afraid of it. Electric's our friend, but I want you to know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, call a professional. There's a reason why they're licensed electricians. There's a reason why home inspectors are required to refer you to a licensed electrician. Because they go to school for many years and they have continuing education and they know what they're looking at. But that being said, not all electricians understand UPSs and power conditioners, so make sure you find one that can answer the questions for you. If they don't know, give them the number for Zero Search. They're willing to talk to them and maybe educate them, and maybe they'll find another avenue they can expand their business. So with that, we're going to wrap up right now, but I want to thank Donna. Thank you for coming, Donna. I mean, the hour went too quick.
Thank you for having me.
A few more questions. This is Larry McAtee at the Chamber of Commerce here in Flemington. Remember, Gene will be on next week, next Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Jeannie Murphy, a Weikert Realtor. And today's issue is brought to you by Home Team again. Remember, I do home inspections, 973-547-7748. Hope to see you soon, guys. And thanks for listening in. And then hopefully you'll catch up with the podcast. Thanks. Talk to you later.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He stayed on script. He never mentioned impeachment and delivered a very uplifting and positive State of the Union address. That's what most Republicans are saying about President Trump's speech last night, but Democrats, not so much. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It was a sad moment for democracy.
Schumer claiming the president lied as he touted his record since first winning the White House.
The president's speech last night was much more like a Trump rally than a speech a true leader would give.
Republicans like House Minority Whip Steve Scalise are outraged that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi ripped up her copy of the State of the Union speech as soon as the president finished.
It wasn't just President Trump's speech. It was the names of those military servicemen and women, people who have given their life for our country. She ripped their names up.
And this is USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
U.S. House Democrats had launched the initial inquiry back last September. They voted to impeach President Trump in December. Now today, the U.S. Senate, led by Republicans, is expected to acquit the president on two articles of impeachment that those Democrats had brought. Around 30% of the precincts in the Iowa caucuses Monday night have yet to report their results, and it remains unclear when the rest of the data will be released, but Iowa Democrats say it was a coding error in a reporting app that's been causing the delay. Congressman Eric Swalwell of California says he doesn't think this is going to hurt Democrats in the long run.
You know, we're going to move on to New Hampshire, South Carolina. It's going to be a long process. I wouldn't write anyone off, you know, who's in the top five right now, but... You know, I think we're looking forward to seeing other states starting to participate.
Hundreds of thousands of people are lining the streets of cold Kansas City for today's victory parade for the champion Chiefs. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
More now on the President's State of the Union address last night. A man who's seldom at a loss for words was left speechless by something he heard from President Trump.
Rush Limbaugh, thank you for your decades of tireless devotion to our country.
The conservative talk legend Rush Limbaugh thought he was in the House Visitors Gallery because he was simply a guest for the address, but President Trump announced that he was being presented with the highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
I will now ask the First Lady of the United States to present you with the honor, please.
The man fans call El Rushfo looked stunned at first, then alternately smiled, laughed, and even cried a little. Just a few days ago, he announced he's been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Cook County, Illinois State's Attorney Kim Fox admitting her office made mistakes in how it handled the Jussie Smollett case. Appearing with Democratic primary opponents yesterday, she said her office was not perfect with how it handled the Smollett case. Fox facing national scrutiny after her office dropped charges against the actor, who was a